everybody.
Hello.
We're coming on. You can't see us yet, but we're coming on.
Our mics are live, John. Don't say anything. You're
I know. Hi, everybody. Oh, my gosh. We
honestly,
did it, Darren.
Today was harrowing for me. I want to say that's normally you.
Oh, sorry. Oh, one second. Great. Let me turn this off. Great. Sorry.
See, today it is
first
you.
Time. First time.
I queued you up perfectly because normally it's you who is messing up always, I would say.
Excuse
exclusively.
Me?
Today it was me, but I am so excited to see your face, John. I am so excited to be on this live stream. We haven't done a live stream in what feels like years. Like, how people have grown. Like, this is like kind of crazy. This is going to be a little bit of nuts, but there's a lot going on in the true crime world this year, including in me and John's lives this morning, because we, and when I say this morning, I mean this night. I'm already messing up the time because like my internet in this hotel is bad.
Okay.
I put on makeup. I'm here.
You look amazing. You put on makeup. I kind of put a little bit of tinted moisturizer around my eyes just because it's been a long kind of dreary winter, and it's not even winter, I don't think, yet, technically. It's been tough. Yeah.
Yeah. I think winter hits after the solstice, which I want to say is the 21st.
Yeah. It's not even winter yet. Yeah.
Neither here nor there, because what we're here for today is there has been a lot going on. 2024 has been a big year in the true crime world, especially interlapping with a lot of social media events. And so we thought to do kind of this holiday live stream for you guys, like recapping the craziness of this year. And we're going to go into how all this works, but just know that if you think that I'm uber hyped up, as I was just telling John before we started, I am maybe 10 minutes away from finishing the most recent 2020 interview with John Ramsey, which aired on Sunday. I believe that was the 15th, December 15th. So if you're listening to this later, go back, definitely watch that interview because I believe it's about a 2-hour interview. It's not just with him. It's with people on the case. They definitely talk about Detective Smith, some of the details that you and I have discussed before, but it was really interesting, especially hearing from his perspective outside of the Netflix doc. So I'm excited to break it all down with you today, John.
Absolutely. And that was a great setup. And also Darren may pop off from time to time because the Wi-Fi isn't great. So just be aware of that it might be me for a moment, but that's okay.
And I may pop off just in general.
You may just simply pop off.
Yes.
About John Ramsey, about this, about that, whatever it may be. So we can see you guys. We are live streaming. We see your comments. Please chat up a storm over in our live chat. We really want that to be super active. We will get to them periodically as we discuss some of the topics today. You can send a super chat. This is going to be lovely. It's going to live on YouTube forever. You can send a super chat or a super sticker, and we will read those immediately. I think they're like a couple of bucks or something, but obviously any support of the show, we will stop in our tracks to make sure we shout you out. So thank you in advance for anybody doing that.
How long does it take for our accents to come out though, John? Like in an episode,
I don't know.
Would you say the average runtime for that is like 4 minutes? Like how
usually,
sometimes it's reading, sometimes it's right there.
Well, you know, when you say accent, what I think you really mean is mental illness, because
deficiency.
I typically, it's not an accent. It's like I'm reading three words at once usually. So that's what's going on with me.
Fair.
But last thing here before we get into, we're going to have a little bit of small talk and get to some of the chat here in just a second. But also, if you want to come on to the show, you can do that. How that's going to work is, we will give you a link in just a moment. We cannot guarantee that that's going to work. This is our first time using this platform. It's the first time using this.
That's
this,
us, guys.
Software. Yeah, this might turn into something else at that point. We don't know yet, but we'll give you that in just a second. And as we get into the topic specifically, we'll give you a cue if you want to come on to the show, or if you want to just, you know, if you have comments or questions at the end of each topic, we'll address them then. But again, super chats get preference because we frankly feel bad that you guys would spend money on us, but we would love you nonetheless if you did.
Yes.
Darren, let's get into some updates just about us and about the show, because I think a lot of you guys are such, and let me just throw this on. Let me just show you what I've got here. Oh, join our Patreon for as little as $5.
Oh, I love that.
Bonus episodes, early access, exclusive content, patreon.com/shakenanddisturbed. Yeah, we'll leave that up for just a moment. We aren't going to keep that up the whole time.
Oh, don't worry. I'm queuing banners.
Desperate. Yeah, Darren's got things in the works.
I created the banners, but let me just
By the way, no, go ahead. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, I will try and be judicious with my use of them because John's controlling the board and we don't know what kind of hateful shit John has put upon us today, because John,
Hugh Banner one. Great. There you go.
First topic. John,
the fact that I
still hate women.
The fact that I have to sit here on the stream and like, look at this is a little bit ridiculous, but there it is. By the way, what I was going to say is I asked Darren, I was like, by the way, we can put banners on. Like, if you have anything like that you want to say or a comment or something funny and goofy, we can do that. And Darren immediately was like, number one, John hates women. I was like, I'm controlling this. Like, I don't think that's going to work. So that's banner
John,
one.
John, Q, banner two. We're just thank you for being honest about hating women. So
All
of this really works. And this actually goes fun. Into the what I first wanted to talk about, which was our Christmas gift update. And the reason
I
that
hate
this
you
goes,
for this.
The reason this goes into this banner is because, well, first off, we want to get you guys your gifts and all of that good stuff. But John, I want John to know that we do a gift exchange every year.
Yes,
and
we do.
For those who weren't listening to our NMR, just to give you a little bit of a quick recap, for years, John has either forgot my birthday or sent me my birthday gift like 6 months after my birthday. So John told me he was getting me a Christmas gift just to warn me that, hey, you might not want to be an asshole in the friendship. Just letting you know that I'm getting you a gift.
Well, okay.
You might want to consider getting me a gift. Fair, good warning. Mm-hmm. A couple weeks later, I got him a gift and I told him, I was like, hey, it's going to be delivered. What's this coming Wednesday? I was like, it's going to be
Can you bring
delivered.
Your mic up just a little bit, by the way?
Sorry. It's going to be delivered this Wednesday. And John was like, that's, oh my God, that's amazing. Like, great. Let me see when your gift is going to be delivered. And he got his maybe a month before mine. And mine still isn't going
to
be delivered until after Christmas. So like, he's trying to blame TikTok. Well,
listen,
anyway, this is why banner two
anyway,
was off. Yes.
I am blaming TikTok. And I see some of you guys, we want to say hi, mom and dad. Hi back to you guys. We see
hi
some of the chat here. Yes. We really appreciate it. We'll get to that in just a second. I am blaming TikTok because TikTok said it wasn't coming until January, but then UPS said it was coming earlier. I want to confirm it just came today.
Okay.
And so did your gift that you sent me last week that I didn't open yet. So this happens every year. We're always mismatched. We're always trying to figure things out. I'm sending it out tomorrow first thing. I might even overnight it. So
whatever makes you sleep at night is fine for me. Whatever makes you sleep
at night.
Well,
I'm going to take this banner off. That's the most important thing that makes me want to sleep at night.
That's fine.
Should we throw up banner three just while
we're
on that topic?
Banner three, because this is important before we get to our breakdown of these cases. For those who haven't listened to our NMR as well, John and I, but specifically John, has been researching this JonBenet case, which we are definitely going to get to JonBenet. We're going to get to Menendez.
Yeah,
we got a lot to cover on this, so just keep watching. But John has been visited, haunted.
I've been
what
visited by some other ghost. Yeah. Well, let me catch you guys up really quickly. On a recent NMR episode, I had explained about how a new ghost is now haunting me here at my apartment in Pittsburgh. Okay. A lot of you may remember the house on the hill I lived in Maryland. That's still a family home. I'll be there over Christmas. I'm sure it'll be lovely. Okay, but in a recent episode, I had wondered about things falling all over my apartment, okay? A dog statue, the Koontz, the popular balloon dog statue, I had one of those on my dresser, it fell. I had tarot cards and a book come off of my bookshelf in my living room. And then I had a flag. I don't think I even mentioned this on the show. Did I, Darren? I think I might have texted
you. No, you didn't mention
this
on the show because you texted me. Yeah.
There's another thing that I didn't mention. So this is an exclusive, okay? Everyone watching, you're thankful and lucky that you came on today, I'm sure. Is that on my refrigerator, I have a pride flag, which is like just a small one, but I have it like magnetized onto... Is that the right word? Held on by magnets onto the front of my refrigerator, but like kind of up high. Don't. I see you're like
I think
ready
you
to
said
go
like
for it.
you were like magneted onto the refrigerator. And I was like,
say that. Oops.
Magnetized. And you were like, how do I
yeah,
not
that's
know
right.
that word?
Yeah, I did say that. Oh my God. Look how cute the little ghost emoji is on.
I know. It's like super cute.
It's so cute. Okay. Anyway, so it turns out I have an update about this. I know some of you, let me check the thing. Carla is asking where Magic is. He's been annoying me all day for some reason. I'm sure he'll make his way in here, but I do want to make sure Magic makes a cameo. But anyway, I will confirm, I'm excited to announce an update that I caught Magic pulling my Christmas decorations off of my entertainment stand in the living room. I have this like tin snowman thing that I really love. It was my grandmother's. And yeah, he pulled it off of the thing the other day. And I was like, okay, so we know that, and we are going to get to true crime, just so everyone's aware who might be new here, because we do have a lot of new subscribers lately. So thank you for that. He is not to be trusted. Thank you, Darren. In my living room or my kitchen. Those, I think, are for sure him at this point. The flag on the fridge is a little bit crazy, but I guess it's him because he's doing all the other stuff. As a reminder, the dog statue falling and breaking was in my bedroom at 6 a.m. when Magic was
could not have
here.
Been him, and it weighs yeah. like 5 pounds, so it would have yes. would not have been able to do it anyway. So
I don't think so. That's the update. Yeah, that's the update.
I've got a lot to say about JonBenet. We need to get into these. Yeah, we need to get to the true crime ASAP because, like, I have so much to say about Menendez and JonBenet are really on my mind right now. So, like,
okay, before we do that though, can I bring up one thing?
Yeah.
I just want to highlight Ariana's comment here. She says, Mom, I bought something on TikTok on Sunday and it got delivered today. How is that possible?
Ariana, thank you for being on my side because clearly this bitch has absolutely no idea how to order anything on the internet when he's gotten every single one of my addresses wrong before. And just like, so thank you, Ariana, for that.
Yeah. So really quickly, before we move on, I want to say we're going to talk about some of the true crime from 2024. We're going to also do a Q&A section at the end if you guys have any questions, comments, and we're going to do a special Patreon shout out to some of our most loyal supporters over the last 3 years. So if you're a Patreon member and you're watching right now, stick around for that. But we want to make sure you guys know we will be taking your questions and we are going to keep an eye on the chat, but we also want to make sure that, you know, people that are watching this after the live don't, you know, frankly unsubscribe. Okay.
Yeah, that's
Darren, do you want to take it away?
Yeah, so let's just start kind of from the very beginning. In fact, Mom and Dad has sort of been in the ether for a long time. And the origin of all of this was actually one of the first documentaries we got to cover, at least of this year, called Love Has Won, which was this cult documentary of one that I am absolutely obsessed with. It came out at the end of 2023, so it kind of led us into the year. If you have seen the doc, I'm sure that you will remember this, but for those who haven't or can't remember if they've seen it, it does open with the leader of this said cult wrapped in like Christmas tree lights as like a mummy in bed. You really couldn't forget if you watched this doc, trust me, but she was Mother God, which is John, and her spiritual leader husband of a man was called Father God. And so that's how these names kind of came to be. But if you sort of remember, I mean, the interesting thing about this case, which is something that I kind of think about a lot, is was there a crime? I mean, certainly people can be emotionally manipulated and certainly brainwashing is a thing. And I don't want to take that away from saying that it wasn't coercion in some sort of way to be a part of this cult. You're promised certain things. You are in a more vulnerable state. I think people who are in cults tend to be in a more vulnerable state. I think they tend to be more gullible type of people. That isn't to judge them. I'm just saying that usually that's how these things kind of matriculate. But, you know, some of these girls, if we remember from the doc, and I don't want to have to listen to our episode on it.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through all the details, but some of them still have a YouTube channel and they're still selling colloidal silver online as sort of this.
That was crazy.
I don't want to say cure all, but like a health benefit. Of which the leader who died ended up dying because she poisoned herself to death from it. And of course was an alcoholic and wasn't eating and had an eating disorder. But it does still haunt me, John, because I think it's one of those things where I think the public can objectively look at it and say, this is bad. This isn't good. But is there a crime? Does someone deserve to be arrested?
Yeah.
Were they
well
part of a murder? if she kind of slowly chose to kill herself, like, or not, you know, what are the rights of our bodies and how we're influencing people? And it's just so hard for me, you know?
Yeah. And I hate when I say, well, because John Ramsey does this, not to go right in on John Ramsey and them, but like that Ashley Flowers interview where she would like try to finish a question and he'd be like, well, and then just start talking. That's what I just felt like I was doing.
No,
but to answer your,
it's because banner, John, you hate women. Yeah. Just saying.
Okay. We're going to leave that banner down for now.
Yeah. No, but, I'm just saying, just considering.
Okay. You're just making the point. Thanks. Merry Christmas. You know, the thing that you have to think about with this is, yes, how many of these people were sort of complicit with a potential murder or killing? But then remember, and I kind of forgot about this until I was researching the case beforehand, before tonight's stream, I should say, that they were like moving her body all over the place and like across
state lines. Felony. They crossed her husband. I'm using air quotes because I'm not sure they ever legally got married, but I can't remember that specific detail about it. Either. But he definitely took her body and crossed state lines, which of course is a felony in this regard. But it does make me think of assisted suicide and how that tends to be legal. You know, Kevorkian, back in the day when I was a kid, I mean, this was sort of this catch-all phrase from this doctor who was helping people commit suicide. And obviously he was sort of deemed sort of this monster for it in some circles. Mm-hmm. Is that what this was?
Right.
They were sort of assisting her at least demise. Degree. Yeah. I don't even know if she would think of it as suicide because I think she thought she was going to sort of transcend life. But if assisted suicide is illegal, then why isn't this? It just doesn't, something's not adding up. The girl math is not mathing for me.
The girl math. Yeah. By the way, hopefully YouTube doesn't hate all the words we're saying and we get demonetized. Cause look, we're a true crime show. What are you going to do? Jeff made a good point in the chat saying Canada is allowing assisted S word, I guess we should say, just to be careful here. But
yeah,
I did see that. I think there was news on that recently. This week. Chris, we'll get to JonBenet in just a second. I see your comment there.
Don't worry. We're definitely going to get to JonBenet.
That's all we want to talk about lately.
Anyway, it literally is all I want to talk about. Cult talks are very fascinating to me. This, along with Nixium, I'm always going to be interested in a cult talk. I just watched Breath on Fire. John and I have not covered it yet. I have not forced him to watch it. Ooh, I probably will. Okay. It did happen in California, near actually where I live, which is a little scary, but it's always very fascinating to me because it's very much so a psychological coercion. I can't even call it crime because we're not really sure if that's
I agree with
we
you.
Use here. So the language around it, I think people are starting to kind of come together with, but it's very interesting.
Very interesting.
I want to pivot to actually in this next case, which we know is a crime and we know something was committed, which was the Scott Peterson face-to-face doc on Peacock, which also was juxtaposed with the Netflix doc. We did discuss both. We did watch both. And very divisive with people, very divisive with you guys, our listeners. A lot of you think he's guilty, kind of full stop. We absolutely respect that. We are open to that possibility. John and I kind of came to the consensus that we didn't think there was at least enough evidence to put him away.
Which is different. Let's be clear. I think that's a different scenario. Yeah.
To me, it was a little bit like the Casey Anthony thing where I don't think she's guilty, but it's not like I think she's innocent, but I don't think she's guilty of murdering her wife. And I think her child. And I think with Scott Peterson, it is a little bit like, I just don't think there is enough evidence to convict him. I can't even say whether or not he's innocent or guilty.
That's
I just
my
think
point.
By the court of law, I don't know how we can possibly determine with the preponderance of evidence beyond a reasonable doubt that he killed Lacey Peterson, just with everything that we've kind of been thinking about now. Certainly his behavior in prison. I don't think he helped himself, but
agreed.
Still sussy on that one, I guess.
Yeah, for you guys in the chat, if you're following along, let us know. Type in guilty or not guilty when it comes to Scott Peterson. We'd love to see what you think.
Yeah, just kind of curious in general if you guys have sort of changed your minds or if anyone has changed their mind. Why did they change their mind? Because I changed my mind all the time on this. We're going to get to JonBenet, where I definitely have flip-flopped with my mind.
Interesting.
A couple not guilties up there, which I think is just
interesting.
You know, I mean, and what's interesting here is I think some people would say, I'm going to go by the evidence and I'm going to go by the court of law. And then other people are literally just saying that based on their emotions. So,
right.
You know.
Yeah. I mean, that was another thing we talked about during the episode that we recorded was like in the 90s. God, so much of this stuff. It's so funny how like many of the 90s cases made a big impact on this year. But, you know, there was a lot of media stuff and like a lot of storytelling. This is the thing that keeps coming up with me. I'm like, there's so much storytelling about these cases that you have to, if you want to look at it very objectively, remove the storytelling aspect and get to the whys and the hows. And I think that this case is one where you just have to look at the evidence. There's no DNA evidence connecting Scott Peterson to this murder.
Not
how
one.
Do you put there's, someone away for life for that, you know?
There's plenty of evidence to show he was probably not the best husband.
Right.
You know, but okay, fair. I mean, even with Casey Anthony, there's probably a ton of evidence to show that she wasn't the most involved mother.
Sure.
But that doesn't necessarily mean guilt, especially what we, you know, we kind of don't know what we don't know. And I often think about, and again, certainly with JonBenet Ramsey, what evidence is there that we aren't presented as a juror, or that police might know, that defendants might know? What evidence really is there that hasn't been uncovered? Because it's not like it tends to present itself. You really need to discover evidence. You really need to uncover it.
Yeah. So, in fact, let me pull up a comment right here. Aaron says, guilty, but need more evidence. It's interesting.
So Aaron, I'm curious for you specifically with that kind of comment. If you were serving on the jury, what you know, let's just say with whatever you know now is what was presented in the case, what would you say that he is? Would you vote to convict for guilt or not? Because I think it's easy to say, ooh, this guy seems so sussy, but can I put someone away to life just from an emotional reaction that I'm having? And I'm curious to what you'd say, Aaron. And even if that is like, yeah, I'd put him away because of that feeling, totally fine. I'm just curious how people kind of think about these things.
And Patreon Sussy Radish Marty also says, still can't decide on guilt, which I appreciate because, you know, so much of our conversations is about landing on guilty or not guilty. But I like that Marty is over here like, I've heard all this stuff. I just can't decide on that. I think it's okay to not decide. We don't have to go one way or the other just because we think we have to. You know, I think there is something to be said about that.
One last one here
really quickly. Sorry, Darren. Yeah. Hetty just says, but the van does throw it off. You know, she had said guilty previously, which the van thing from the documentary is really compelling. I mean, it's hard to look around that. I mean, they intentionally didn't test the DNA in that van. Why?
They intentionally didn't do it. There was a robbery right across the street. I mean, that we know happened, that we know existed. Aaron did respond saying probably not guilty with what is presented.
That's
so
right.
I feel like that's a very honest answer to give. So thank you, Aaron, for answering that. But yeah, I think it's interesting that they kind of refuse to test all these DNA things, which are at least clear and can at least pinpoint people being in certain places. And yet they just aren't testing tapes and 18 pieces of evidence, you know, are kind of going by the wayside with that. So, you know, it's one of those cases I don't know if it's ever really going to be solved or not, but I do think that maybe it is not over in terms of whether or not Scott Peterson is going to be put away. Although Lauren, Sussy Radish Lauren says guilty as sin, which
love that. I had to throw that up there.
Totally fair. Totally fair.
Thanks for joining us, Lauren. We love you.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's move on to this next one.
What's
if you don't mind,
one,
John,
here?
I want you to present
Menendez. Yes. Let's talk about the Menendez brothers because they had quite a year. Okay. They had the Monsters show. They had the show Monsters on Netflix, which was the dramatized Ryan Murphy series episodes of the show. I didn't watch that either because I don't like that type of stuff. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really like the way that feels to me personally. I see some of you still talking about Scott Peterson. We'll see those and we can respond to those at the end here in a second. But also, you know, they had Monsters, which was a huge hit. I mean, one of the biggest hits on Netflix, if not the biggest this year. Cooper Koch, some other breakout stars really were kind of made a career for themselves on that show. But the Menendez brothers, both of them, were not happy with how they were portrayed in that show. And those of you who've watched it, let us know in the chat what your thoughts are about the Monsters series. So that came out, and then that really kind of blew up. And then a couple of weeks later, Netflix also released the Menendez Brothers documentary. That is the show that Darren and I watched. And shout out to Netflix for sending it to us early so we could review it. We love being a partner with Netflix in that regard.
Yes.
We talked about that, you know, and we talked about how compelling it is that they be resentenced and just what happened that day. So that's an episode. If you're new here, you can go and watch today. And that kind of led us into the fall, frankly, and the whole comment and or conversation, excuse me, around resentencing. There had been a lot of conversation, yes, around with, you know, from their lawyers, and eventually like the DA recommended them to be resentenced. They had served their time. The documentary really put forth a very strong, valid case about the fact that in the 90s, without getting into the expressive words here so that YouTube doesn't ban us, you know, that fathers could abuse their children in the way in which they did. And now that we are 20 some years removed from that, or however long it's been, I think even the prosecutors are like, okay, got it. But I just want to say something before we jump into this conversation.
Yeah.
It's crazy to me that we are still only getting around to things like this with people's cases because documentaries and podcasts are highlighting factual information that has already been out there. And it's because people like us that are passionate about true crime, all of, not just you and me, Darren, I mean everyone in this chat right now, are bringing attention to it. Like, should someone's, you know, resentencing or guilt or innocence or whatever be determined by Netflix's programming slate?
It does seem like Netflix has such a command, such a command over this. I mean, you know, it's obviously, yeah, it's the biggest streamer in a while, although I think social media in general you know, that phrase, like, who watches the Watchmen? I think social media, for all of its negativity, you know, that certainly comes out, right, and certainly the misinformation that is easy to be spread, it also spreads people's curiosity. It makes people think sort of twice about this, sort of in a way, and people love a mystery in general. And Menendez brothers, certainly, I think we are in a different era where mental health is very important now. We are understanding, right, abuse of both, you know, different sexes now in a way that we sort of had never really revealed. John and I had certainly mentioned that if it was the Menendez sisters, would this case, right, have been adjudicated any differently? Would they be believed? And as we jump into this conversation, I will say, just so in case anyone didn't know, at the end of John and I watching this, John and I sort of came to an agreement that we both sort of thought that they should be freed. Based on everything that we had kind of known, seeing this documentary, based on the abuse, based on the trial, based on how they have been model prisoners, based on what they've done in prison, serving 35 years, give or take a few years, basically my whole life in prison. Is this what we want? And John, I don't know if you've changed your mind at all. We actually haven't resurfaced this conversation since we actually discussed about the conversation. But since then, I have had personally so many different conversations with people about this. And it's very gendered in the way that when I talk to a lot of women, and this is a generalization, but more women think that these boys should be freed than I find that men do. Most of the men that I do talk to about this are very skeptical that this abuse happened in the first place.
Right.
And I don't know if that's because it's just hard to wrap your mind around this. It's obviously a very difficult conversation. But part of me sort of wonders if there is this like play in empathy and EQ and how women tend to, you know, there's a reason women are into more true crime than men are. They tend to have more empathy than men for through no fault of their own. This is just how it is, that maybe women are able to sort of see people as victims first. you know, like in a way that men can't. I don't know. It's just very interesting. It's been so gendered in that way for me, with these responses.
I love that you're bringing that up, because I think that even still, you know, the gendered approach to what type of abuse can happen or not is very much still ingrained in us. I mean, we're really only, you know, we're only about in 2024, a generation behind what was going on in that, in terms of, like, you know, society and people who are adults now talking about this conversation. I think your point, Darren, is interesting, because the reality is, at least in our society here in the United States, women are the target of a lot of abuse, most of the abuse. Let's be honest. I mean, especially
and
when it comes to
kind
SA.
Of being taught to silent about it, you know, so exactly. they understand a silent culture in a way that I think men have a harder time to understand.
Exactly.
General. Yeah.
No, exactly. That is a perfect way to put it. Well, as let's wrap up this conversation as we get through the other things, but let's ask everyone in the chat. I have a banner here for this. What are your thoughts in the chat? Put it over here. Should the Menendez brothers be freed? Darren mentioned very gendered, not to sway it in one way or another, but we'd love
it
to see what
it just tends to
saying.
Be a generalization. We definitely want to put some of these up. And let me just say, even if, and most of the people that I've talked to, the reason that they think that they are guilty is because the boys spent all of the money right after, they killed their parents in cold blood, and they don't believe the abuse actually happened. They believe that it was all an act, that they took acting classes, that the lawyer kind of coached them into doing this. Mm-hmm. And I say to that, which is what I have said, let's say that all of that is true. I mean, we know that they killed their parents. We know this. They are guilty of killing their parents. Let's say, yes, they went on a spending spree because they didn't care. Let's say, yes, the abuse didn't occur. This was all made up. Okay. Mm-hmm. But now when we look at our prison system and we look at our justice system, these people have been in prison for 36 years. They've been model prisoners. They've dedicated a lot of their time into rehabilitation for people who have actually been abused. I highly doubt that has been fake, but let's just say that it is. I think they've served their time. I think they've served their time. I think we should give them a chance to at least see what kind of citizens they could be, especially in prison for this long of a period of time. That is my personal opinion.
I'm right there with you. Hetty is making another great point here, which is a reminder. The family actually wants them to be freed as well. And the family being brothers, sisters, relatives of the parents who tragically, you know, were murdered that day. I want to mention one other thing really quickly. Lacey, I can't bring your comment up, but I like what you're saying there. So thank you for your contribution. You know, some of the words we just got to be careful with, even with YouTube. But I'm looking here at the chat, Darren. Everyone wants them freed. Jeff, Denise, Aaron.
It's kind of a consensus. And I feel that it's just how they've sort of been acting in prison, sort of regardless of the case. I think most people think that they got a not fair shot. And let me just say, I actually got to talk to Rosie O'Donnell about this on the carpet. This was not purposeful. I just kind of wanted to ask for my own edification. Of course, John hates me because I got to talk to her.
All my favorite people.
Because John hates women. And she, for whatever this is, right? This is not a clear-cut thing. She felt strongly that they were going to be released before Christmas. I don't know if now with the new election of this judge, if anything's going to change. She felt very strongly about that. That was a few weeks ago. So I don't, this might have been pre the election of any sort. But I definitely feel strongly that there is pressure on this case to get them out. I don't think it's going away, especially from social media, especially from what we can see from you guys at a lot of these comments, think they should be freed.
Yeah. And thank you guys for weighing in and sharing your thoughts on this, because I think it's a really important conversation. Yes, there is a new DA as of the election. I think what I saw, the new DA is a little less lenient than the previous one. There's even some theories that the previous DA was only bringing up the Menendez resentencing
to get reelected. Yes. All of that is possible. I mean, all of that's also conjecture.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, you can kind of convince anyone of anything depending on how you saw the incident happened or what they said. So it's just,
for sure,
it's so difficult.
Well, nonetheless, Darren, let's move on to a topic I know that you were following extremely closely this year, which was Anna Kobayashi.
Yeah, Hannah Kobayashi, actually.
Excuse me. I'm sorry.
No, all good. So Hannah Kobayashi is, It's in the news currently, just to give you a quick recap, because we actually didn't discuss this in a full case. So in case of you aren't aware maybe of her name, I'm sure you've seen this news story. But Hana Kobayashi is about 30 years old. She might be 31 now, but I believe she's 30. She went missing. She lives in Maui, Hawaii. She flew to LA. She was flying to New York by LA. Goes missing from LAX airport, and she's kind of found crossing the border into Mexico. Her family hadn't heard from her. She got these weird, she had supposedly sent, although it's hard to say, these weird cryptic text messages, something about Venmo. She had met people along the way, but essentially she sort of disappeared in a sense that there was no prior signs of her family thinking that she would have disappeared. So this wasn't just a 30-year-old trying to move, you know, away from people. There had been no previous signs, which I believe, which is why her family was so concerned. And in the search for her and the weeks that it kind of took her to be found, because spoiler alert, she has been found alive in Mexico, and that's all we know. Her father had actually gone looking for her and passed away in this.
Which is crazy.
In doing this, I think had, sort of felt lost in all of this and decided to trying to think of how I can say this on YouTube without getting struck down, but essentially he decided to not be with us anymore from what we know, and had died in the process of looking for her, which just adds sort of this other layer of, for me, a 30-year-old, anyone above 18 when you're adult should be allowed to live the life that they want and certainly go free. And if you want to go live in Canada and never talk to anyone again, I think you have every right. You don't really owe your family anything of a wellness check, but just given the fact of the news about this, given the fact that what happened to her dad, given the fact that her family claimed that there had been no previous warning signs about this, what kind of person is this? What are we kind of dealing with? I don't want to cast aspersions yet.
Right.
But it definitely does not seem like a clear cut case of this girl just trying to go free. And there's no sussiness kind of happening, but we don't really know much. They pronounced her safe. And once you pronounce someone safe,
what else
unless
can
there
you
was
do?
There. Yeah. I'm not really, there is a little bit of she faked like a wedding certificate to this boyfriend. So there's definitely, she definitely has some kind of true crimey, but it's hard to say whether anything nefarious went down. Right. It's also hard to say with a video of her willfully crossing the border, if that is her willfully and complicitly crossing the border, or is she manipulated into crossing the border? You know, we don't really know enough to say one way or the other, but unfortunately, once you pronounce someone safe, I'm not really sure there's much we can do. So.
Yeah, Lil1X, who is also a Patreon supporter, hey there,
says, hey,
when I first read about the dad and the story combined, it felt a little sussy, which, yeah,
me too.
That's what we're basically saying, yeah.
But sad nonetheless, sad nonetheless, and just, well, Lil1X said hi, so well, I want to say
there you
hi
go.
Dad.
Yeah, here, we'll throw that one up there.
We are going to be covering this case, though. I think we are gathering all the information that we possibly can, just because this is sort of this ongoing case. So we want to get all the details right, but we will be covering it in the new year. So definitely keep on the lookout for Hana Kobayashi.
That's right. Okay, let's get into it. It's the one we've been talking about.
We need like an air horn.
I know. I should have uploaded some sound effects, shouldn't I?
I don't even know where John to begin DeNay. With this, where but I will begin? Say, okay, since John and I covered this from the documentary, from the Netflix documentary, since then, two pieces of interviews have come out, the 2020 interview with John Ramsey, which I just said that I have maybe like 10 minutes left in, as well as the Ashley Flowers interview with John Ramsey that John absolutely watched and dove into, and I watched part of, and we commented on for the podcast. So,
That was just this week's episode. We did a kind of update of the seven things we find still sussy about this case, which is doing really well on our YouTube account and in our regular podcast episode. So you guys love the JonBenet case. I mean, you know, where do we even go from this? From a 2024 recap standpoint, you know, the case had been a little quiet. I mean, we hadn't heard too much about JonBenet this more recently, but the documentary came out on Netflix. Netflix just, you know, doing a great job with their slate, like I said. And then John Ramsey goes on this Ariana Grande, Cynthia Erivo style press tour. It's John Ramsey. Like,
by the way, got gravity. Totally bullied on Saturday night by 10 gay men that I haven't seen Wicked yet. So yeah, just be should. Happy that you, yeah, I finally got bullied. I finally got my karma.
Honestly, I never say this, but you deserve it. And I'm going to follow up on my group text with Nadine about when your tickets are. By the way, you're going to go on, are you going to go on Christmas Day when they do the sing-along show?
Absolutely. I'm leaving, right, guys. I got to leave the live stream now. We'll make it. And make sure I'm
go
online.
Warm your voice up for the 25th. No, but, you know, John Ramsey was everywhere. I mean, he was on the Today Show. I think he did this 2020. He did Ashley Flowers.
It's yes. Like,
you know, and someone did make a good point, and I will address this. Maybe one of you guys are going to comment about this.
I want you to put up Hetty 51's comment when you can. We're going to get to it, but I'll
get to that in just a second. Yeah. Which, and the point that I keep seeing people make that I do start to like kind of think about is if he didn't do it, if they didn't do it, which, by the way, we should just clear up right now. They have never been charged. I don't even believe they were suspects, ever officially suspects. No one is charged or convicted, and they are all free. But we have to think about all of the different things that are contributing to this case. And if the theory that John Ramsey and or the family had anything to do with it is true, then why are they out there doing so much press? You know, John Ramsey has never, it seems like he's never turned down an interview in his life. And I do wonder if he is somehow connected to this, why he would continue to talk about it. What are your thoughts about that? And guys in the chat, let us know what your thoughts are.
Let me tell you something. Every time I feel like I know or have a strong opinion, every piece of evidence, and I'm using, or I could be convinced of the other side, right? Like, right now there's two strong theories, right? Like someone in the Ramses or an intruder of some sort. I feel like there's heavy evidence for kind of both. Not enough beyond a reasonable doubt. I'm not necessarily that this would have been adjudicated properly in the court of law, but sort of like every evidence that I'm kind of been presented with, I feel like there is an equally opposite perfect reaction. Hetty 51 said all evidence points to an intruder, but the ransom note and the fact that John goes directly to that room makes my mind real. And I agree with you. Right. Why have a 3-page ransom note? That just seems nuts. But at the same time, like, could I really imagine? I mean, I don't think the Ramses like sexually assaulted their daughter. I don't think that this sort of meant to happen. There was no evidence that they would have been abusive to their kids. Nothing like that. And do I think the police botched the investigation? Yes, I do. And do I think that they covered up, didn't look for, do certain things? Yes, I do think that. The ransom note really is the thing to me. Just the thing that I can't really understand, you know, I had never before that documentary, I had never heard of the Garrot that had been around her neck. I had never heard that before.
Oh, wow, really?
Or the supposed markings on her neck and back, which could either be potentially a taser. They also intimated it could be sort of those
trainway
tracks.
Yeah.
All of that is possible. I mean, if it was an intruder, if all evidence points to an intruder, how did this person get away with doing all this stuff, not waking anyone up, being able to move her, tase her, rape her, and then kill her, and then stand there and write a ransom note? That doesn't really make a lot of sense. And the only thing that kind of I've been thinking about, considering how bad the cops botched this, and just considering that maybe John Ramsey does make a point that this $118,000 supposed ransom that also matched up, such a specific number that matched up to his bonus.
Yeah.
Could it have been somebody involved that was trying to get back at John? Yes.
I don't think
that would involve raping JonBenet though, but I don't know.
You don't know. We don't know. And I don't know that we'll ever have evidence that can prove any of this at this point. I also think, too, I thought more about this after our Sunday episode, $118,000 bonus. Like, that feels more to me like he would be trying to throw people off the scent. Like, oh, well, it must be somebody at work if they know my bonus. Like, that just, the more I read about this case and hear about it, I'm like, I don't know.
And him going right to the room that no one seemed to know about, that people would search the house and he would go right there and no one seemed to know about it. And also, like, you get a ransom note that someone's going to call at 10 a.m. the next day. A, I'm not sleeping. And B, at 9:59, I'm buying the phone.
Who knows his number, by the way? I mentioned that on Sunday's episode.
Right. How would he know his number? But also, even that, let's just say phone books, whatever, you know, they matched up. They obviously knew enough about them to know that she had a six-year-old girl. Usually when a crime like this would be committed, if it was going to be perfect, they knew the family. They would have watched the family. They would have cased something. They would have, there was no forced entry. There was no forced entry. So they must have known that something would have been open somewhere. Right. I mean,
And can I just highlight Jeff, good friend of the show. We love you, Jeff.
Hey, Jeff.
Has a really interesting comment here that I think just doesn't get a lot of attention, which is due to their deep pockets with the DA. Jeff is referencing that the Ramseys contributed to the, you know, donated to the the campaign for the DA's election. Sorry, I don't know why I can't put those
and
words
this obviously
together.
Happens
I think that's
all the
something
time,
to think about. Yeah.
But it definitely is a piece of the puzzle that makes me think, like, no one's hands are fully clean here. You can't be completely unbiased. You just can't be completely unbiased. I mean, even Lou Smith, who they hired, you know, who talked about his firm belief that the Ramseys didn't do it. And I definitely think that the Ramseys were defamed, and certainly they had been sort of this pop culture joke, I think, for a while, that the public had sort of just generally agreed that they had definitely been a part of it. And a little bit like, you know, we're going to do mock trials and be like, look at her and sexualize her and do all these things that they didn't really have a lot of evidence for. And I believe that the Ramsey certainly suffered from that. But even Lou, it's not like he knew who did it. He had an intruder theory, but he couldn't tie anything to anyone. There was supposedly blood in her,
like in her underwear or something, like a spot. Yeah.
A spot, you know, she probably, you know, I don't think that she was way too young probably to be menstruating. Not that it couldn't happen, but I don't think that was obviously it.
No,
just
I don't
with
think
the
that's
speckle.
What that was. Yeah.
But what is that, you know, and how can we, and given the fact that John Ramsey, you know, whenever I talk to people, it's like, I get it. Like, if I'm not a mom, but if that was my kid, if that was anyone in my family, hell, John, I know you hate women, but if that was you, I would go up to you. I'd take the tape off your face to see if you were breathing, let alone if it was my child. Yeah. But moving the body.
Yeah, no, it's
know.
All very,
moving the body, you know, like, no,
the whole thing, you know, I will say this too. And I saw Marty, thank you for your kind words about reading that document, you know, that I did for the show and for the YouTube account. One of the things that was so weird about that was hearing the firsthand account of not only John, but then Linda Arndt moving her body around. And like, I think Linda Arndt, for those who don't know, Linda Arndt is the lead detective on the case, who was there in the house all morning long and when they found JonBenet's body. She gets a bad rap. You know, I feel bad. Did she do everything perfectly? No, we know that for sure. But she was also doing a lot of things really well. Like, she was documenting everything, noticing people's behaviors. There were 7 or 8 people in the room in the house at that point as well. You know,
which
there's
also
so much she can do.
Crazy. You know, the one thing I'll say, and this we saw kind of with the Netflix and the Peacock documentary, how like one documentary is kind of showing the guilt of Scott Peterson. One's kind of showing that, you know, it's maybe hard to say. So it kind of is through a lens. But, you know, when she describes, Linda Arndt describes John Ramsey going through his mail as if like this was a casual occurrence. He's going through bills, right? That would look a little weird. But according to John, he was looking for another letter from the killer, which I think is a really weird thing to say. But in theory, I'm not going to pretend to know what my mindset would be like. Maybe you do think you're going to get another letter and you're not going to get a call. Like, it's perfectly reasonable for him to look through the mail to think if he's going to get something else. But one, the ransom note wasn't mailed. It was just sitting on the steps. And two, why would they write another note saying they're going to call? That doesn't make a lot of sense. Although obviously that call never came through. So maybe that was just his reaction and we're overblowing the fact, you know, we're looking at it as this guy's just casually checking the mail. And he's like, no, I'm doing this for a purpose. I mean, it's easy to be misinterpreted like that.
The thing that I, you know, you're speaking about that morning that they found her and like that she was missing at that point. The thing that I keep thinking as I was reading through that document out loud from Linda Arndt, which is, by the way, for those who don't know, you can go watch it right now. The 19-page police report from submitted from Linda Arndt was like, if I'm in that house, right, and I have my microphone stands in the way. I have a priest. Not just friends. A priest, their priest. And then I have four friends, two of whom are couples. John Ramsey's there. Patsy Ramsey's there. Burke was sent away immediately, which I find one of the craziest things of it all, but more on that in a second. And then the detective and maybe one or two other police officers. My mindset as someone who's just lost my child, who we're looking for her at this point, would be, oh my God, what exactly do we need to do? What do we need to do? This person's calling in the next couple of hours. What can we do exactly? Should all of us be here? I think I said this on Sunday's episode. Should we all be in this house? Is there anything else we can do? Oh my gosh. Like, and I'm not saying I would be panicking and freaking out necessarily, although I'm sure I would. There was just no sense of what are we doing next? It was John in one room, Patsy in another room.
Right.
Not and really
no urgency
talking.
About a call. Yeah,
no
they're
urgency
not, like,
about a call.
It just
10 o'clock comes and goes. No one mentions it.
Right. That's what seems weird. Like, that's what seems weird.
That behavior really just always stuck with me after I read that. It's all I think about now because I'm like, I would want the advice of every police officer in the country to tell me what exactly I should or shouldn't be doing in this house as my daughter has been missing. Are we closing off the interstates?
Yeah.
Are we sending out further alerts and warnings to other jurisdictions? Why is none of that happening?
But also with that, I'm thinking, but people's reactions, how can we possibly determine how someone's going to react to something?
Of course.
Some people shut down. Some people go hysterical.
Right. It's true.
Some people cut everyone else in their family off. People do things that are contradictory to themselves all the time. Like, we're pretending all the time, even when things don't have to involve murder. I mean, people go back to abusers. People choose abusers. People then abuse people who have been abused and abuse other people. You know, like, it's hard to say how any one of us would react. And that's why I'm also hesitant to just say, like, you know, gee, all their behaviors look so odd. I don't think they help themselves with this, but this could just be one of those instances. And personally, I don't think it's ever going to be solved because I think the police messed up and I think the scene is too contaminated to fully say what it is. I mean,
well,
even
that's
that
100% true
mysterious footprint in the cellar where they found her that didn't match. Yeah. The boot print that didn't match anyone in the Ramseys. Well, number one, like, okay, but how many people probably went in there? That could have been a boot print from any other time, or it could have been police when they were walking through there and searching through there. And what are they going to search every police officer? It just.
And Burke himself and the Dr. Phil episode was like, yeah, I had a boot that was like that, but I was also down there all the time. I live in the house. I'm a kid. So, you know, that type of stuff, you can't really, I don't know really what to say about it, honestly. But I will say this, last thing about this is going back to that morning, like I was just describing, the behavior felt like grief and mourning. They knew that she was dead.
Yeah.
That is my opinion. That's obviously not, it just was like, I can't imagine sitting around, especially the mother and the father in separate rooms. I've seen grief. I know my grandparents lost their son at 27. I have seen that type of heaviness and what it does to a family and to a household unit. And it was very reminiscent as I was reading that report out to how that went down in my personal family. Now, that does not mean that that is exactly what happened. I'm just saying I've seen that grief. And I just feel like they would have a slightly different reaction throughout the morning into 8 o'clock, into 10 o'clock and so on, if she was truly missing. And I don't know. That's just my opinion, of course. I don't want anyone to come after.
I don't disagree with you. I do find that a lot of the things that are brought against the Ramseys are very easily dismissed by the Ramseys as just being like, oh, that's ridiculous. But clearly not. I don't think that that's truly ridiculous. Paula Deal on our... Yeah. a lovely subscriber that we love. I think the family's reaction could just go any way on the day of. It's not something you can predict. Couldn't That's agree true. More with you. You know, I think we can all cast how we would react and do that stuff. But hell, how many instances have I been in that I've replayed being like, I should have reacted differently. I didn't think I'd be the type 100%. Of person to react like that, you know?
Yeah, and then Conscious Machine 413 says, that's who we heard on the 911 call. You're right. That was the panicked craziness that we heard from Patsy in the 911 call. I guess, you know, and I'm thinking back and I'm like, maybe I should walk this back a little bit because, yeah, maybe that was the reaction that I was asking about. But for me, sitting around grieving in moments, and maybe this is just because I'm a true crime podcaster and worked in true crime for most of my career at this point. For me, I would want to be doing something. I would want to take action. I would want to be making sure we're.
I certainly think I'd case the house. I'd certainly think I'd catch a house if I
thought at least that
a door. How would someone get into this house? Is there a door unhinged? And if he knew that that door wasn't great, why wouldn't you check that first? You know, but it's hard to see what anyone's mindset's like. This is a 6-year-old girl who went missing that night on Christmas.
Yeah.
A lot of shock value here. It's very crazy. I don't think it will ever be solved, but I also don't think that the conversation about this is far. I think it's far from over. Hopefully the cops will at least try to test that DNA.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Fingers crossed, you know, who really knows? I want to shout out Mitz in the chat. Mitz, we love you.
Hey, Mitz. Saw you from Mexico. I'm so happy you came on.
We love Mitz here on the show. A longtime supporter. Mitz, we're about to give you a shout out here in just a little bit.
Yes.
For special Patreon subscribers.
And we do want to get to a Q&A section just for a few minutes. Yeah. If you have anything to ask us, please feel free to ask us, you know, specifically in the chat or whatever you guys want to do. Mm-hmm. But I want to get to the last topic of conversation.
That's right. Let's wrap this one up.
Yeah. I mean, listen, JonBenet, very crazy. But Luigi Mangione, who has been definitely in the press as of late. This has been a huge, massive case, specifically in New York City, of course. I mean, this happened actually right where John and I used to work, by 30 Rock. He, of course, is the, I don't think yet convicted, but I think we're pretty confident and certain that this is him, convicted of killing Brian Thompson, who is the United Healthcare CEO, in the back, point blank, at about 6 a.m. Outside of the hotel that he was at in the middle of Manhattan, in the middle of the street, a street that I have walked 1,000 times.
Yeah.
Nothing about this case, the most shocking thing about this case to me was the Twitter reaction to this. And I use Twitter a little bit. Yeah, social media reaction. To me, I was a little surprised that people seem to almost laud him as a hero. Not a lot of people. This is a smaller faction of people. I think people in our chat are obviously a lot smarter to do this. But the fact that people had some people felt bold enough and even being online to laud him as a hero for killing him and then justifying the killing when this man had children, I think is appalling. It's really made me sad. It's really made me upset. I have tried to talk to people that I respect about this to have a better head about it. But yeah, the public outcry on it over on social media was really disappointing.
Yeah, I had the same reaction at first because I was like, wow, and by the way, I feel like there is a bit of a spectrum. There are the people who look at him as a quote unquote hero. There are people that are just simply apathetic to it, which is, I think, a different extreme than saying he's a hero, so to speak.
Yep.
And, you know, there's somewhere in between where you're just like, you know, I've seen some comments like on social media across the board that are like, my thoughts and prayers are out of network. And I have to say, you know, you know, and of course, I'm with you, Darren.
Crazy. 100%. People have lost their minds.
I had the same response. I was very surprised by it. But I will say this, I had a hard time understanding where these people are coming from, you know, that were so apathetic, I guess you could say. And, you know, I think what is very clear, at least as we from like a macro perspective, is that people really do feel that this industry and these people, specifically the victim, unfortunately, are responsible for decisions that end up being made where, you know, you mentioned, you know, family members that are still living that he had, you know, in those cases, their family members are lost as a result of these conversations. And for that, I understand that sentiment, but I do think it's a little bit over the top to laud him as a hero or say the guy had it coming or anything like that. Vigilante justice is never the right thing to do. You know?
That's just horrendous. I mean,
I
can't promote the idea. I don't believe in the death penalty, even for people who I think are serial killers, let alone some shooting someone point blank behind their back. Right. I mean, what a coward. It really irked me.
There was the whole other weird corner of this conversation where they were like, wait a minute, he's really hot. Oh my goodness. Should we, that was like a whole other thing, which I found very bizarre.
But it's like when Jeffrey Dahmer, when Ryan Murphy did Monsters with Jeffrey Dahmer, and then like Jeffrey Dahmer was like the number one Halloween costume that
year.
Is there any difference in that? Like, I don't know. I don't know if our culture should be really promoting this stuff. I sort of understand there can be sort of this innocence to it of just being like, well, it's pop culture. It's in the ether, but these people murdered people.
And I have one other thought too. This was such a high profile. Well, I have two other thoughts. This was such a high profile case, obviously, because it was, first of all, I think mainly because they had very clear footage of this happening. If this was in an alley or something, I really don't think that this would have been as big of a story. I think it would have been a big story. I just don't think it would have been the same as having the clear footage and the way he kind of sets up the, it's crazy. That's number one. But, we're hearing now, too, a lot about the family members and friends that knew him. And I want to be very clear before I even say this. I'm not sympathizing with him. But what I am sympathizing with is that every one of his, I should just say friends. I haven't heard, I don't think, any of his family speak on this yet. But everyone who knew him or worked with him was like, no, he would take his shirt off his back for you. He was the nicest guy you would ever meet. And something happened to him because of his, his health problem with his back or something that happened.
Yeah.
And it just flipped. And, to me, that's heartbreaking, that his life is now over, essentially, because he's going to have the book thrown at him just as an example. Because if they don't do that, then it's going to empower other people to potentially
have the video of it.
No, of course. No, 100%.
I think you're right. He's going to get... I mean, I think he's being tried as a terrorist too. So
yeah, I saw that today.
Which is pretty big. That's basically treason. So, just in general, I think we should be smarter when people's reaction. This is the problem with social media. I someone mentioned in a tad. It's like, even if you thought that, even if you think this guy's a hero, why would you say it? And that is sort of the power of anonymity on the internet. That. I think a lot of people are just raging at their computers because they don't have anyone else to rage to. And I think people, no one's first reaction, people's first reaction tends to be bad. I tried to judge people on their last reaction, but unfortunately on Twitter and social media, we really just get people's first reactions. And then we don't see the correction afterwards. So that's a problem too.
And I would add to that too. I agree with you. And I would add that there's almost like this now community around rallying behind him because people, like I said, people just feel very disenfranchised by health insurance in the United States. It's just a truth that everyone deals with.
I think it just showed that.
Let me just put it here.
It's a crazy system. Yeah.
Elizabeth says, which we love, Elizabeth, welcome back to the show. Saddened for sure about the bizarre reactions. Even if you believe that, why would you post it? So I think that's what we're saying.
Yes, that's
Marty with our first super chat.
Oh, Marty, I love you. Marty is such a good person.
We love Marty. She's been such a huge, huge supporter of the show on Patreon. Marty says, I love the show and I want to continue to support you. No comment on a case. Well, Marty, thank you so much. Can we bring that up on that? There we go. Yeah, we got Marty really super chat. Appreciate
that. That's so nice of
you. Thank you.
This is only going to slightly recover my mental health bill from John hating women every single week when I come on the show. So Marty, for helping me pay my therapy bill right there because most of my shit is from John basically. So.
And that was a $10 super chat. So five of that is going to your bill, Darren. So there you go.
I'm taking your half too, John. That's just how it is.
Okay, that's fine.
That's what I'm doing. But there's a lot of, obviously, this case is still very fresh. Carla said he disappeared and went MIA.
Carla.
7 months before allegedly doing this. Great point. Hi, Carla.
Yeah, that was a really good point. Love I wanted to make sure we...
Who knows in that 7 months? I mean, an entire person could have come out. People get indoctrinated very easily on this. I mean, listen, people without any health issues, you go online, you go on the dark web. I read this amazing book this year about this woman. This has been a case that's been out now. These two sisters, and they were dating guys and they joined ISIS. And they were indoctrinated to join ISIS, through the internet and just through what you see online.
Well,
and so,
yeah.
7 months of just interneting something can really change it. So good point, Carla.
I think we're going to learn a lot about how this all happened in the coming months and years. Yeah.
A lot of docs. Netflix is going to resurface this in some of way, for sure. But
I know there was the joke that Ryan Murphy was already on the phone with James Franco's brother. I'm forgetting his name, who looks like Luigi Mangione. Dave Franco.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, I could see Ryan Murphy doing that for sure.
I could see it.
All right. Well, those are our top things.
Those are our top cases.
Yeah, cases. I don't know why I said things and then shows there. But yes, so we're going to open up now to the Q&A. And Darren, I have a whole new background for us. You ready for this?
Oh.
Ask us anything.
If you have it, hit us up. We want to know, but
I know that
someone in the beginning asked about my skincare routine, and I just want to say thank you for commenting. It was very early on. I just wanted to say thank you for commenting on it and saying that I have very nice skin. I really appreciate it. I have a couple recommendations for it to look the shiny.
Free plugs.
This is also terrible lighting in my hotel room, so it's probably giving me so much more shine, but I put hyaluronic acid on my face first.
Very, very good. She's so pretty. She doesn't even know the things, you guys.
Very good for the skin. And I use like a glow sunscreen on my face, which happens to bring out my freckles. So the glow sunscreen very much helps. And my sort of like catch-all, I slabber this on my face every night. And I think it is this thing called Egyptian magic, which you can get online. It's you can put it all over your body. It's obviously if the Egyptian version of John's cat,
which I need to find. Will you vamp for a second? I'm going to go find it.
I'm vamping about my skincare routine. What are we talking about? So elephant magic, Egyptian magic, great thing that you can put, you can literally pull it all over your body, but every single night after I do my full moisturizer, I put it all over my face. It's a little sticky. There he is.
Say hi.
Heady 51, get the Egyptian magic. It'll change your life. I'm just saying.
Elephant magic, and I really resonate with that. Because look how big he is.
Because look at Mudang up there. Guys, look at the Mudang coverage of my Mudang, which is just amazing. John, as you have Mr. Magic up there, before we kind of wrap up this episode, Denise Anthony wanted to know what we thought about the drones in New Jersey, home state. Well, you're a little drone magic.
I love him so much.
He is such a good.
He's one of the biggest.
He's a big boy. Yeah, he's a big boy. He's a Cybertruck. He is a Cybertruck.
Where's the drone thoughts? Here we go.
The drones. I said this every single time, like if it's something weird and nefarious, like A, why are they in Jersey? And B, like, why is the footage always like blurry and bad? I just don't get it.
There was some joint statement released today by the FBI, the CIA and everything. And they're like, guys, nothing to worry about. And then the other day I saw something about how they were their drones searching for radiation. I don't know. I will admit, at first I thought that there were alien related things happening, not necessarily with the drones, but like, you know, there'd be other things going on in the sky. And I don't know. It's all just kind of weird to me, but I'm going to pull a Marty in this situation and say, I don't have enough evidence. Ooh. I'm not ready to make a statement yet.
Oh,
and that's,
we are
and that's
making
on,
statements.
And that's on growth for Marty. You know what I'm saying?
That is on growth. I will say that aliens and magic seem to be the two top comments here. So we got to have an episode
I
with
say,
magic.
Really quick, Denise also said episode with Megan. We definitely want to do Love a show it. With Megan. We always leave the door open for Megan, but frankly, she's too busy for us. But we will try to get a show with Megan soon. Here's one from Ariana, Darren, if you want to take that.
Yeah, she said, not a question, but just want to let you know that ironically, my daughter's new sussy radish shirt got delivered today since she outgrew the onesie a year and a half ago.
I remember that.
So exciting. We want to see pics. I love it. Please. That's awesome.
I also want to mention our our little garden of radishes. I want to mention we did, when we were first promoting this live stream tonight a couple weeks ago, I was mentioning giveaways. Turns out YouTube has a lot of stuff about giveaways, so we had to nix that. But okay, we will be doing stuff, and we're going to be doing our Patreon physical gift very soon. We're waiting till after the new year, just so everyone knows. I know I'm always late. I'm always in the wrong year.
But also we want to make sure the mail has been insane, yeah, as evidenced nuts. By the fact that John never gets me a gift. So we want to do it when we can make sure that it's going to be there on time.
That's true. Also, Carla, thank you. He's such a chunky panky. I love that.
He's a chunky monkey. I love it. Carla. But one thing that we can give out today, John.
Drones or not drones? Yes, go ahead.
Is shout outs.
Let's do some.
We got some shout outs we can do at least.
Okay, so this is our last live stream of the year. It also may be our first. I don't even remember if we did one earlier in this
year.
Could
be our first, could be our last.
First and last. Who cares? It doesn't matter. You're all here now, and that's what matters most. And I just thought it would be a really good idea to give our longest running Patreon members a huge shout out for sticking with us for so long. Some of these folks have been with us since the very first day that we launched Patreon almost 4 years ago already, Darren. We're coming up on our 4-year anniversary soon, back in 2021. So we really, truly love and appreciate you. So I'm just going to run off some names. I know some of you are in the chat right now. Denise, who said, thank you, Mom and Dad, for doing this. We love you. Denise has been a fan since day one. Denise was with us with Martinis and Murder, and Denise brought us drinks, our own bottles of Bailey's to our, I believe it was our Boston live show 5 years ago. And Denise, I just got to say, you are the superest fan, and a lot of y'all need to step up because I don't have a new bottle of Bailey's in here for many of y'all. Okay. Think about that. But anyway, Denise, thank you so much. Denise, Mitz, Molly, Morgan, Ruth, Susan, Heather, Stephanie, Sam, Roxana, Ariana, who I know is in here tonight, Paula, Krista, who I think is in here as well.
We've got Tara. We've got Marty. Marty with that shout out today.
That's James, right. They're super chat.
Sandy, Kimberly, Jessica, Annabelle, Laura, Lisa, Selena, Jody, Megan, Lauren, and so many more. Those are just the ones that have been with us the longest. So thank you so much for your continued support via Patreon. Honestly, without you, we could not keep the show going. We wouldn't really be able to do anything that we want. And certainly there wouldn't give me a platform to say how much John is a misogynist and hates women.
I figured that was coming. I want to say thank you, Lacey, who says, I watched you guys years ago on Martinis and Murder, and then I wondered what happened. It was until a few months ago I found you guys on here. It's fascinating that people are still finding us after we left Martinis
and Murder. I know, it's crazy. There was sort of a rough transition there, but we love it. We're glad that you're back, and we're glad that you found us, Lacey. So thank you for being a part of this. This was outside of my computer mishap. This was so fun. We definitely want to do more of this. I'm so sorry my computer messed up
beginning,
but this was just amazing, and I can't wait to break down more crimes in the new year with you.
That's right.
It's going to be awesome.
Absolutely. And if you like this, make sure you liked it and subscribe to our channel if you haven't already.
Please
and
let us subscribe. Know. Please
give us the feedback. Do you like this on YouTube? Do you like this somewhere else? We want to play around with some of our live stuff now that our YouTube channel, frankly, is
we're in our experimental phase. We're in our experimental era.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yes. All right, Darren, I'm going to hit some music here for us. We love you guys. Have a happy holiday.
Happy holidays and happy new year.
We'll see you next time. Bye.